You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
If we haven't met yet, my name is Ben, and I'm one of the pastors and leaders here. And I have the joy of preaching the first message for 2026. We're in a series, we're starting a new series titled, I Love Like No Other. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to explore the love of God, a love for you and for me. And for those who may not know God, I just pray that you stick around and you find out about this love that God has for you. We'll look at a love that forgives us, a love that pursues us, a love that welcomes us. And this morning here, I'm going to talk about a love that sees, a love that sees us, that God sees us. And to do that, we're going to turn to Luke's gospel. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to take us from verse 35 to the end of the chapter and into chapter 19. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke 18. Let me read the word of God as the foundation to what I have to say. Verse 35, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the side road begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him, be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising Jesus. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now let's go to chapter 19. We continue on, verses 1 onwards. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree, to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he saw him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guests of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that's the word of God. I mean, let me give you the context before I tell you what's going on. Just prior to this moment, Jesus, he gathers his 12 disciples, and he informs them that he's going to die very soon. He tells them that I have to die because the prophecy concerning me must come to pass. If you go back to your Bible, go to Luke again, chapter 18, and just go a few verses up to verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside, that's the 12 disciples, and he told them, we're going to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. So right here, we see the gospel. Jesus had to die. And we, if you know Jesus, you worship a God who died but also rose. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that God would die for our sin. He would rise for our victory. And we get to stand before him as righteous. not on our performance, not on what we do, but on what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The death and resurrection of Jesus has purchased the penalty of our sin, and we stand free. That's why I remember I had a conversation with a young man maybe 5 weeks ago. He's still very new to the faith, and I asked him, if you were to stand before God, would God let you in? And he says, I think so. I said, okay, well, maybe if you gave yourself a percentage, would you get a C or a B or an A? He goes, I think it might be a C plus. 7 out of 10, I think I'll get in. And I said, why? He goes, oh, because I don't know. Sometimes I go to church, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. And I said to him, is it because your works would allow you to stand righteous before God, or is it Christ's work? And he paused. He says, oh, wait a minute. It's 100%. I'm 100% into the kingdom of God because it's not my works, but Christ's works. You see, that's the gospel, right? Jesus died. He rose. He did everything for our salvation. And so right here, Jesus tells the disciples, I've got to die. And so right now, they're making their way into Jerusalem, right? And there's a city that they have to pass by, Jericho. Now, in the text that I read at the beginning, Jesus meets two individuals. Is that right? The first person is seated lowly by the side of the road. The second person is seated highly on a sycamore fig tree. The first person he sees is named Bartimaeus. Now, we don't see his name in Luke's account, but in Mark's account, we know his name. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 47. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, right, together with a large crowd there, leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So in Mark's account, we know it's Bartimaeus. This guy's got faith. Why? Because he says, Lord, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He had faith. He knew that Jesus could heal him. So he cried out to Jesus. The second person is on a tree, Zacchaeus. The text tells us he's what? He's a chief tax collector. And the Bible tells us he's very wealthy. He's wealthy because we should know that the tax collectors never had any moral compass. They were all into extortion and corruption. All right? So right here, society did not like tax collectors. I think it's very different today. We love the tax man today because he will look after us. He will give us a bit of return, right? But back then, tax collectors, you were despised. So right here, you have two people on the opposite end of the social spectrum. The poor, the beggar, lowly by the road. The influential, the rich, highly on a sycamore fig tree. And Jesus sees both men. Bartimaeus, we know he's physically blind, but spiritually alive. He knew God. This is the Messiah. He had faith. Zacchaeus, physically alive. He's rich, but spiritually blind. Two individuals. Three lessons that I want to share with you concerning a God who sees. I'll tell you what they are. Number one, we have confidence Jesus sees us when others don't. Number two, we have confidence Jesus sees us to restore us. And number three, we have confidence once seen, Jesus calls us to live differently. They are my 3 points. I'm going to pray and we'll work the text together. Lord, I pray now that you'll help me as I teach and expound your word to your people. I pray we lean in. Holy Spirit, be our great teacher. Help us all to hear from you. And not just only be hearers, but also doers. And may we start this year well. Lord, be with us. Use me. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. We have confidence to see, right, that Jesus sees us when others don't. You know, both men in the text, they were overlooked by society. Let me explain. The blind beggar, he's by the side of the road. I would imagine countless number of people walking by him without paying any attention. You know, the poor, the homeless, the disabled are usually neglected in society. You know, I must confess, and I'll share with you, that sometimes I would walk past a homeless person as if they never existed. And I'm not proud to say that, but that's the truth. You know, every time that happens and I walk past a homeless person, Spirit of God always says to me, don't forget that I also love that person. And don't forget that person is also made in my image. You see, the rich are noticed, the poor neglected. Someone famous dies and the whole world we're mourning. Someone in the third world passes away and life moves on. And this man here by the side of the road is overlooked by so many people. In fact, the text tells us they even told him to keep it down. They rebuked him. They told him to shut it up. Verse 9 to 39, we see that in the text. They said, keep it quiet, keep it quiet. And that implies that this man here, you're a nobody. You're insignificant. Jesus, he doesn't want anything to do with you. Keep it down, buddy. Quiet, quiet. Jesus is an important person and he only deals with important people. So you who are very lowly, you are blind, you're a beggar, keep it down. That's his treatment. No one sees this man. He's overlooked for many years because of his position in society. Then you have Zacchaeus. Now this guy's rich, but we know that his wealth has come through extortion and exploitation. I mean, tax collectors were considered as the scum of the earth back then. They were known as what you call sharks of society because of their corruption. In fact, they would say that a tax collector could not be a witness in court because you can't trust them. No integrity. You would stay away from these people. Yes, they're rich, but everyone would ignore them. People wouldn't notice them. People would overlook them. And you have both men on both sides of the spectrum with society overlooking them. And then Jesus comes along. And what does he do? He sees them. He spoke to Bartimaeus by the side of the road. He wanted to stay at Zacchaeus' house. He wants a fellowship with this tax collector. He sees them both when others would not see them. And I believe that God has not changed. I believe that God still sees us when we are overlooked by others. That is the love of God for you and for me. I love it how St. Augustine, he puts it like this in this beautiful quote. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. This means that his attention is completely on us as if he only created one individual and that's you. That's how much he loves you. Let me explain it like this. A parents with firstborn, a parents with firstborn child, you can probably relate to this, right? I can relate to this with my Oliver. You know, when you have only one child, your firstborn, they get the grand royal treatment. Is that right? You're very cautious. You watch over them like a hawk, right? You notice everything about them because your only child. You will remember when they mumble your name, Dada or Mama. You would record it down, the time and the date. You remember when they first rolled over. You want to see them first roll over or when that first tooth would erupt. Or you notice that little scratch or that bump on the forehead when they fell off the couch for the first time because you're on your phone, you know. You sterilize everything. You sterilize everything. You Google everything. You ask the doctor everything about your child. You get the pastor to pray for everything, you know. Right? And then the second child comes along. And then the third, and it's like, do we even have three kids? You know? But it's so true. Here's my point. The amount of attention and love you give to your only child is not the same as the attention and love that God gives to you. Here's why. We're all humans. And if we as humans can notice the small things in our child, how much more do you think God would notice about you and me? You see, for some of us here today, maybe in this room here, there are some you feel overlooked at work. You feel invisible in your family. You feel forgotten by your friends. You feel lost in this church here. Just because people do not see you, it doesn't mean that God missed you. He sees you and He loves you more than you can imagine, friends. And you know, and sometimes you hear that voice, and that voice is not from God, that labels you. You're a sinner. You are worthless. You are no one. You are too broken. You are a mess. God does not love you. And I'm here today to say that no, you are worthy, and you are known, and you are seen, and you are so loved by God because He sees you. He notices you. And just like He saw those two men, one at the side of the road and one on a sycamore fig tree, when the whole society overlooked them, the same God still sees you. And that's how much He loves you. And He notices you. And I want you to never forget that. Maybe there are certain things that has happened to you last year, and you wonder and you question if God would still notice you. Do you still matter? Am I still seen by God? Does He still love me? The answer is yes, He does. He loves you. He sees you. He notices you, even when others may not. And I want you to know that. And secondly, we can have confidence that Jesus sees us to restore us. To restore us. In the text, Bartimaeus, who is physically weak, becomes strong. His sight was restored. Zacchaeus, who is spiritually weak, becomes strong. His faith is restored. You know what's the common thing about these two men here? I'll tell you what's common. The area of lack, whatever they were lacking, Jesus saw that area and Jesus restored that area. Sight for Bartimaeus was a game changer. For him, it allowed him to go back into society, to find work, to find identity, to find purpose, to see his family and friends again. He had his life back. Faith for Zacchaeus, a game changer. To know that he is now at peace with God. There's a joy, there's a hope with God. To be reconciled to his Father in heaven, that changed him. That's the reason why, if you look at the text this morning, at the very, very end, the comments of Jesus, don't miss this, in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The word save here in the Greek, right, is more than spiritual forgiveness. It's more than God dealing with our sin. And He does that. Of course He does that. But the word zozo in the Greek save here talks about restoration. It talks about how God wants to restore us and deliver us and rescue us and make us whole again. And here's the thing here. When Jesus saves us, listen carefully, it's more than forgiveness. It's more than cleansing our sins. It's also restoring the area of lack in our lives. So areas of brokenness, areas where we are missing something, God wants to enter into that space and restore it and make it whole again, just like He did here with Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. God wants us to know this, that when He came, it's not only to save us from our sin, but also to make us whole again, to fill the areas that are lacking with hope again, with substance again. And there are areas in your life, in my life, that needs healing. There are areas in our life that deep down we know it's broken and we need someone to restore it. And the only person to restore it is God Himself. And we need to bring our lack to God. That's why Peter would say this in 1 Peter 5:17, cast all your anxieties, all your worries, all your fears, whatever you are lacking, cast it to Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. He notices you. He sees you. That's why, listen carefully, do not minimize your lack. Do not hide your lack. Whatever you are lacking, whatever areas in your life that is broken, don't just sweep it away in the carpet and say, well, I'll just have to deal with it. Or don't just ignore it or hide it. Bring those areas to Jesus. Bring them before God and have confidence that He will heal. He will restore. Bring it to Him. Tell Him, God, I'm lacking in this area. I need breakthrough in this area. This is the area of my life that I don't like, and I need You to help me. Bring it before Him. Don't reduce it down. Don't hide it away, but rather bring it to Him and let Him do what He needs to do. Paul says these words in Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, that's God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You notice that? Praise God that he can do more than we can imagine or we can think. Sometimes, listen carefully, we already have come to the conclusion that we cannot be restored from that particular situation. Sometimes we think, well, I'm so broken, I'm so messed up that I don't even think that God can even help me. But praise God, the word of God is very clear. He can do more than we can imagine, than we can think. His power is great. So for some of us here, if you lack joy, you bring that joy to Jesus and say, Jesus, I lack joy and I need you to give me that joy. For some of you, you lack confidence. Bring that confidence to Jesus. If you lack relationship or belonging or purpose, whatever you are lacking, be like Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. God, I lack sight. Will you help me? God, I lack faith. I lack salvation. Will you give me salvation? You bring those areas to Jesus. You don't take it and run away, but rather you bring it to the Lord and trust that Jesus will see the area of lack and he will fulfill. You know, when we planted Sun Life Church, I won't forget this story here. You've probably heard this before. In my second year of planting Sun Life Church, we were living literally month by month. And we had two young kids, probably under the age of three. And I would remember saying, God, how am I going to do this? Lord, I've got to try to start this church and I'm trying to do some studies and I'm trying to work part-time as a teacher and I've got my wife who's got these two young boys that we've got to raise up. How am we going to get through this? And there was one particular month where we were lacking $3,000. $3,000. And it's one of those months where all the bills came in. You know, the insurance and the rates, and it's one of those months that I don't like. And it was like $3,000 lacking. And I get a phone call from a lady who's not even in our church. And she says, Pastor, I need to see you. And she comes to see me and she gives me an envelope. And she goes, look, Pastor, this is for you. God has told me to give this to you. And I'm thinking it's probably a Kohl's voucher or something. It's probably a card saying, Pastor, I'm praying for you. And I just forgot about it. And I spent some time with her and she left. And that afternoon, just before dinner, I opened up that envelope. And yes, there was a card, but inside the card there was cash, $3,000. You see, when you are lacking something, you don't hide it. You don't reduce it. You just bring it before God who cares. And say, Jesus, I need you. And you ask him and you pray to him and you trust that he will do what he needs to do. And for some of you here, listen, I want you to know that he sees you and he sees the area that's broken in you, that's messy, and he wants to restore it. And all he wants you to do is trust him and have confidence that he will take care of you. And that's what I want to encourage you with. And here's the third thing here. Third point is that we have confidence that once seen, Jesus calls us to live differently. Go back to the text. Look in Luke 18:43. Immediately he, Bartimaeus, received his sight. And he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. You notice Bartimaeus did not receive his sight and then he went home. He didn't do that. I think a lot of us, right, when we receive a miracle from God, sometimes we just go and run and celebrate with other people, but we forget the healer. And see, Bartimaeus right here, he didn't go. He didn't head back home. He could have gone back to society. Hey, look, I can see now. I'm no longer a beggar because I can work now. No, what does the text say? He followed Jesus. He became a disciple of Jesus. But notice the text carefully. He was an active follower. You notice that? What did he do? He praised God. He worshiped Jesus. And the people noticed his worship. He did not go home with his new sight. No, he followed Jesus and he worshipped and he praised God. Now look at Zacchaeus. Look in verse 8 of chapter 19. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus could have gone home unchanged, but he didn't. He gave his possession away. Half to the poor. And he repaid back four times those he cheated. You see, both men, when they were seen by Jesus and they were restored, they responded by living radically different. Bartimaeus praised God publicly. Zacchaeus gave away cheerfully. See, John Chrysostom, he has this quote, "It is impossible that a man who is saved should not show it by his life." It's impossible. If you have been saved by God, if you have been loved by God, restored by God, it is impossible that people would not notice that. And if people can't see that, then you have to ask yourself the question, am I living a life in gratitude to what God has done for me? You see, our lives, friends, should be different to those who do not know Jesus. Don't you agree? I mean, if you are living a life where the only time you are passionate for Jesus is on Sunday, and the rest of the week, no one knows, like your neighbor, they don't even know. Now, if they ask you, you know, what are you doing Sunday? And if you're not saying, I go to worship the Lord, I just think that you've got to be proud to be a follower of Jesus. And Bartimaeus here, I think for some of us, I just personally think for some of us this year, we should be like Bartimaeus. We should follow Jesus closely, and our pursuit to be like Jesus should not be passive, but be active. We should be like rejoicing and praising God and letting the world know that we love Him. I think for some of us, we need to be like Bartimaeus. Like your life is full of praises to God. Like you have no problem saying, God bless you. Praise God. I'm so blessed. People should see Jesus in you. I think maybe for some of us, can I just be honest? We should be more passionate in our pursuit to be like Jesus. Like we should be joyful and cheerful, and when we worship Jesus, there should be passion. And I'm not just saying Sunday, I'm talking about during the week. Because for me, worship is not singing. Worship is living a life where people see that Jesus is of great worth. And I think for some of us, we should be more passionate when we're at home with our kids, when we're at work in our company, when we're at school, when we're at sports in our community. People should see the passion we have for Jesus. And then when we gather here on Sunday, of course, we're taken to the next level, because it's game on here, right? Because when we gather here on Sunday, come on. Like if you are so passionate about Jesus during the week, you've got to take it to the next level here. Why? Because we're all here together. This is the climax of our worship. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's the climax of our worship. So for some of us, I think we should be more passionate. That means for some of us, we should be singing loudly, singing so that the person next to us hears us and see the passion that we have for our Father in heaven. I think for some of us here, we need to sing. There's something about singing. Every time I put the radio and I get a bit lonely and I just flick on, not worship music, I flick on 1990s R&B. It just takes me back to my high school years, my uni years, and there's a joy. There's something about singing. It takes us to places. For some of us here, we need to sing with passion. For some of us here, we need to start serving. We're not active in the way we love Jesus. You know, when you serve one another here, you serve the Lord. I think this is a great year for some of us here. If you are not serving, this is a great year to start making a difference with the people here. I think for some of us, we need to be like Zacchaeus. We are to honor God with our finances. We need to give. At Sun Life Church, I rarely talk about giving. But I believe that for some of us here, God is saying to you that you need to give. Now, whether you give or not, I don't know. I refuse to know. I don't want to know. But I will say this, give regularly, give sacrificially, give generously, give cheerfully. I think if we live like that, we will live differently. So my encouragement to you as your pastor is that this is a great year, 2026, to live differently for the glory of God. Let me leave you with a hymn from 1874. Some of you might know this hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And the lyrics goes like this: "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose." I think that's how we ought to live. Know that God sees us. God wants to restore us. And God wants us to live differently. And may you and I take that next step in this year. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, that you see us when we may feel overlooked. Thank you that your love is always for us. You notice when we are hurting. You notice the areas that we are lacking. And you want to restore us. So Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that every one of us here would just know that you're a God who loves us dearly. A God who wants to help us, to make us whole again, to rescue us, to deliver us and restore us, God. And Lord, I also pray, God, that just by knowing that, we would live differently for your glory. God, I know that you're speaking to some of us here this morning. Steps that we need to take, areas that we need to change. I just pray that you give us the grace and the strength to make those changes, Lord. May this year be a great year. May it be very different to last year. Help us, Lord, to continue walk on that journey of being more like Christ, our Lord and Savior. So God, I thank you so much for a great start to this day. I pray that you bless this community here as we head off and do what we need to do. Help us to remember your word, not just be hearers, but also doers of you. And Lord, right now, as we begin to enter into a time of Holy Communion, help us to remember you, to remember what you have done for us. We're grateful for your sacrifice, that we get to be in relationship with you. Help us to remember you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.